Spoilers, offensive content. This is episode 96 of Two Fat Guys Talk, the podcast where episode numbering is just all over the fucking place. This is part our third and final part of our E3 2017 coverage, where we talk about the Nintendo event, various Nintendo announcements, various announcements that happened on Tuesday the 13th, and we wrap up our E3 coverage by talking about, you know, which conferences were the best, games of the show, stuff like that. We realize that E3 is not over, but our coverage of it will be coming to an end. Unless there's something really significant, then we'll put out another podcast on the weekend. I am joined, as always, by my beautiful co-host, Dave. I was so looking forward to this after the garbage Sony conference and the generally disappointing E3. I was so looking forward for Nintendo to, even if they had nothing that I cared to get a Switch for, to at least give me some of the fun, lighthearted, non-shivving that Nintendo is known for. I was definitely hoping for some 3DS stuff, because I still own and love my new 3DS.
Whore.
Wow! I really like this pussy.
But and you have one of the new 3DS, slut.
Well, I wanted to get the Xenoblade game. Really good game. Really solid. The 3D on that thing is actually good. If the 3DS always had 3D that was that good, because they cheat. They use the camera to zero in on your face and in real time adjust the 3D settings, right? But if the 3DS was always that good for 3D, maybe it could have realized its promise of glasses through free 3D for everyone, right? Legitimately good, and I actually use the 3D mode in it, which I didn't really on my old 3DS system. But I was hoping for that, and what I got instead was a couple of neat announcements, including Kirby, and a lot of disappointment, including Mario Odyssey. Now, Dave, you were not able to watch the conference live. You really just read up on things and saw a few videos after the fact. So let's get your thoughts before I go on my fucking tirade. What did you think of what you've seen today of what Nintendo has had to show?
Okay, well, I'd already gotten your text about how disappointed you were in the with the show.
Mm-hmm.
When I came across, you know, Metroid 3DS game.
Yeah.
Metroid Prime 4. And I'm already like, huh, what do you mean it was a bad show if they announced that?
It should be noted that they did announce Metroid Prime 4 during the show, but it was just Metroid Prime 4. No gameplay or anything, just the logo, basically.
Yeah.
And then Metroid Samus Returns was dropped during the Treehouse segment.
Yeah, like, I never didn't finish Xenoblade Chronicles on the Wii U. There was just too much. So I just didn't finish it.
I'm still working through it on the new 3DS.
But, well, sorry, I get, well, you're, well, that's Xenoblade, not Xenoblade Chronicles.
It's the same game. It's an upgraded port that the 3DS has with
3D support. Yes, but it's not the same game as the Wii U.
It's, oh, sorry. The Wii U one is not Xenoblade Chronicles. The Wii U is Xenoblade Chronicles X?
Yes.
The original one is Xenoblade Chronicles, yes, right? Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, X just has so much, and it's not your traditional sort of RPG, so I got more than my value out of it. I just couldn't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
So, hearing that there's a Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Now, they did show this at their Switch announcement last year. So, the news of the game is not new, but they showed more footage.
Yeah. But wasn't that basically every show?
Yeah, it was a disappointing E3, but we'll get more to that when we talk about E3 as a whole here.
As far as Nintendo goes, though, I mean, from what I've seen of Mario Odyssey, I'm intrigued, but it's not a system seller for me.
Honestly, before today, I would have told you that the only reason I would want to Switch is potentially Mario Odyssey. After today, the only reason I'd want to Switch is, depending on how good it is, Metroid Prime 4 and the new Kirby game, which doesn't have a proper subtitle yet. Mario Odyssey disappointed the fuck out of me. They showed a bunch of gameplay at Treehouse, and it seems just slow and dull. It's more like Mario 64 and Mario Sunshine, and look, everyone and their mother loves these games. I don't. I do not care for Mario 64. I don't care for Mario Sunshine. The 3D Mario formula only really worked for me in the Galaxy games and then in 3D World. Those games are great. In fact, I tweeted this and I got some people angry at me for saying this. I want to go play Mario 3D World to get the taste of Odyssey out of my mouth, what I've seen. It feels sluggish and slow. It looks kind of shitty. There was one segment where they, in the city level, New Donk City, they went up to a really, really high building. And when they're really high, you could see that the whole level is just this relatively small postage stamp of space with a really shitty city skybox around it. It reminded me of when you glitch above something like a City Escape in Sonic Adventure 2 and you can see the shitty skybox around the level. Mm-hmm. I was jokingly calling this Super Mario 06 because shitty kind of real world city level with real world people contrasting with Mario, shitty desert level like Sonic 06, and other things that made me go, this looks like Sonic 06, but Mario. The only really impressive thing to me are the cool little 8-bit Mario segments in the wall. And if you customize your Mario, those customizations do translate over to the 8-bit sprite, which is neat. That's nice little nod. But it was putting me to sleep. I was watching it being played, and I'm like, why is this not eliciting any excitement in me at all? Honestly, I am far more excited for remakes of Crash Bandicoot coming out here soon than I am for a flagship Mario game, and that is not a good sign. Mario Odyssey was a disappointment. The Kirby game they showed had the make-a-buddy-slash-slave mechanic from Superstar, and you can do it up to 3 other people for 4 players. And it looks like a solid 2D Kirby game with Superstar mechanics. And those games are great, so that kind of looks neat. They announced Metroid Prime 4, just the logo. I love the original Metroid Prime on GameCube. It's like they took Super Metroid and made it a whole 3D game. Great. Prime 2 disappointed me. I thought the level design was really tedious. The light-dark mechanic was nowhere near as intuitive as it was in Zelda 3. Prime 3 and Prime Trilogy introduced shitty motion controls that were not optional. So fuck those games. Despite all that, and despite Retro Studios not being involved, I do kind of want to see what Prime 4 has in store. If they let me use the Wii Pro controller, I can finally control a Metroid game like every other FPS on a console, like with twin sticks, right? So that has me excited, and especially Metroid Samus Returns. Like, the Castlevania Lords of Shadow games aren't stellar in my opinion, but they're not bad. And what I've seen of Metroid Samus Returns, it looks like a really solid 2D Metroid, a remake of Metroid 2. And Mercury Steam seems like they know what they're doing here with this one from what they showed at Treehouse. So hey, Metroid's back, and hopefully it retcons Other M and basically apologizes for Other M's existence.
Yes, agreed.
Otherwise, the main Nintendo show was 29 minutes of disappointment and boring, shitty games, except for Kirby. They showed the shitty Yoshi game, which looks like garbage. Yoshi's Island, one of the greatest Mario games ever made. Every single Yoshi game after it was garbage. From Yoshi's Story to now. Except Yoshi's Woolly World was pretty fun.
Anyway, I find it funny that you put the cherry on top of the shit pile.
Yeah, Yoshi's Island is one of the best Mario games ever made. It is one of the best games ever made, period. It is on the top 10 list of best video games, period. In history. On any system.
No.
By far.
Not a chance.
And it's always so disappointing to see how far that's fallen. And they keep cranking out these shitty Yoshi games. I don't understand. The Treehouse segment is where they announced Metroid Samus Returns. I'm like, why didn't they do that during the presentation? On various online comments, I saw fanboys talking about how Nintendo won E3. And no, here's the funny thing. I found a few people saying shit like, hey, is it just me or does Mario Odyssey kind of look like garbage? And of course, they were predictably getting shat on. Fanboys being like, oh, maybe you just don't like Mario games. No shit, bird. Maybe this Mario game just looks like trash. You know, not everyone has to jizz all over Mario. There are people who can look at Mario 3, another top 10 contender, and go, this sucks. Because video games are subjective, asshole. Like, Jesus Christ. Fanboys are the worst. They're the worst. Dave, rank the conferences from best to worst.
So I didn't see the Nintendo one, but I did see the others.
Oh, I didn't. So rank your ones.
So, best was Devolver.
Easily.
Second was Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'm putting third place on a tie for between Microsoft and Sony.
Okay.
Then EA.
Uh-huh.
Then another tie between Ubisoft and PC gaming.
Oh, yeah? Were they really that bad?
Just boring.
Just dull. Okay, fair enough.
Ultimately, unlike all the studio-driven performances,
mm-hmm.
PC gaming doesn't have a figurehead.
Except for shitty PC gamer.
I'm glad they're putting these things on.
Sure.
But there is no company head. Other than AMD keeps on trying to sell us really shitty hardware.
For sure. So I'll go through my ranking real quick then, and then mm-hmm. we can talk about the individual ones, touch upon them, and talk about games of the show. My best one, like you, was Devolver Digital.
Yeah.
They didn't have much to show, but they sure as hell knocked it out of the park with what little they had. Next, surprisingly for me, is Bethesda, because I shit on Bethesda all the time. But how can I say no to fun gimmicks, fun themes, and Nazi killing? I can't say no to that. We need more of a reminder that Nazi killing is okay in video games. Yeah, that's a nice safe statement. Third, I would say is, oh my god.
It's hard, isn't it?
I probably have to give it to Microsoft just because, even though they announced a system I'm never going to buy, there were some games there that look kind of interesting, like stuff that's multi-platform that I can get on other systems, like Dragon Ball FighterZ. And then I'd have to give it to Nintendo just because there were a couple of interesting games announced. And then dead fucking last was Sony, with a great ending and 50 minutes of the most mind-numbing video I've ever seen in my fucking life. I didn't see the Ubisoft and PC gaming one, so I'm not including them.
I don't know if I agree with the mind-numbing, because, hey, there were a lot of games I didn't care about there.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why they were there.
Sure.
They're not our cups of tea. But I saw a write-up on Polygon that really does stress what E3 has become.
Hmm.
Well, in years past, and I'm talking 3 years ago plus,
mm-hmm.
the conference was business executives coming out and talking about the company.
Yeah.
And then putting in between different games coming up.
Sure.
I mean, Sony 2 years ago had 8 indie devs out there showing off their games live. It's become less of a conference and more of a media show.
It's more of a PAX thing, really.
Not even.
I remember when Fallout 3's world premiere was at PAX. I was at that PAX. I didn't go because I don't care, but I had friends in that lineup. I was holding their spot for a while they went to go eat.
I mean, ultimately, what E3 was is no longer. And ultimately, what have we been saying year after year after year? Show us the games. Microsoft? The reason why I put Microsoft and Sony in the same ballpark is Microsoft pissed me off with its specs talk and then showed 42 fucking games. Now, there were a whole bunch of games that I didn't care about, but I'm not the only audience. Just like with Sony, Sony gave more time to each game and showed us less. And something I didn't actually realize until after it was done, and we'd already talked about it, Sony had no indie games in their lineup this year.
That's another reason I rank Microsoft higher than them.
Something that is a first for Sony, because Sony was really what started the whole indie boom when it came to the consoles. People can say that Microsoft did with their whole
ID at Microsoft thing?
Yeah.
ID at Xbox?
But really, giving the indies respect and actually showing them off at E3, that was a Sony thing first.
Oh, sure, fine.
Microsoft was glad to take their money and run.
Sony still mailed it in so hard.
Oh, Sony...
Even Nintendo's tepid presentation felt like they tried. Sony did... It's as if nobody wanted to be there. It's as if they had a few big budget items, and otherwise they're just give these unwashed masses what we think they want.
Well, I'm actually wondering if in previous years why we got, like, we didn't really get too many, you know, Sony exclusive sort of things. Like, it was a first, even if it was a multi-platform game, we didn't get any, you saw it first at Sony mm-hmm. this year. Mm-hmm. At all. And every other year we have. So I'm wondering if this year Sony was like, you know something? Let's just show off what we got. Let's not pay the other studios for all their other stuff. Or some of the other studios may have been like, you know something? Microsoft's paying a bunch. Or we want to do our show off at our own thing. So we're not letting you this year. Like, there are a lot of factors that go into E3, which comes down to cash. Whether people want to sell their exclusive, or whether you want to buy the first look kind of thing. And this year, Sony didn't have any hardware to show off. And you're right. They phoned it in with what they got. We didn't even get freaking Crash. Really? I mean, I
realize it's out at the end of the month, but still.
Well, but even then, the reason why Last of Us wasn't on there, Naughty Dog told us they wanted all the focus to be on the new Uncharted game. As a lot of people were kind of commenting back at them, they don't care. Like, a lot of the Uncharted many of the Uncharted community is like, this is literally a game we didn't ask for. You ended things off with 4. We're good. Why are you wasting time on this?
Where's the Uncharted racing game? Where's the pattern?
Hey, if Naughty Dog has proven anything, they can make good racers.
It goes Last of Us, Last of Us Part 2, Last of Us the 3rd, and finally Last of Us Racing.
Pretty much. Anyway, that was Sony this year. They obviously did not want to put too much money into what was going on this year, and it shows.
I agree. However, their conference still had one of the games of the show. So let's get to that. Well, Dave, what would you say are your top 3 games of the show?
Of Sony or overall total?
Overall E3. Let's forget about the shitty conferences and talk about what really E3 is supposed to be about.
The games.
Yeah. What are your top 3 games of the show? I have a top 3 ready. I know I sprung this on you. I was thinking about it while you were talking.
You go ahead first.
Okay. Top game of the show. Dragon Ball FighterZ. Awesome looking Dragon Ball fighting from Arc System Works. Yeah, doing Marvel right. The Dragon Ball way. Number 2, the only highlight from a zombie husk of a fucking conference, Spider-Man.
You're wrong on that, by the way.
Looked amazing. Oh, sorry? About what?
Well, there was one, even for your slim pickings, there was one other thing from Sony that you were happy about.
Which was?
Horizon Zero Dawn DLC.
You were happy about that. I haven't played Horizon Zero Dawn yet. So, yeah, the only good part about the Sony show, Spider-Man. That game looks amazing. I am super looking forward to Spider-Man. And number 3, because I just can't think of anything else and I really want to play this game, Metroid Samus Returns. It's my top 3 list. Objectively best games at E3. Dave, what are yours?
Why do you lose at life?
Number 1 is
Wolfenstein 2.
I still have to play the first one. So in fairness, if I had played the first one, oh yeah, zombie killing. You know what? Tied for 3rd, Metroid Samus Returns and Wolfenstein 2.
So, we got Wolfenstein 2.
Wolfenstein 2, the new Juggernaut? Is that what it's called?
The new Colossus.
The new Colossus, you're right.
Followed by Crackdown's number 3.
Crackdown's number 3, going out of order. Number 2 is...
Oh, there's...
I like how you put it at number 3 even though you don't have a number 2.
Well, no, there's a couple titles that are kind of vying in my mind for number 2.
You know what? List them out. 7-way tie for 2nd place. What are they?
The XCOM 2 expansion.
Uh-huh.
and Horizon Zero Dawn DLC.
So not games, but expansions. No, that's not fair, Carlos. That's counts in this day and age. Yeah, okay. Well, solid picks.
I call them expansions rather than DLCs because they're going with a whole zone kind of thing for the Horizon Zero Dawn. And if XCOM 1 proved anything, the moment they added in the DLC, it changed everything. So all of a sudden, they turned what should have been a playthrough of the same game with a little bit of extra into, wait, what did you do to me? The fuck? So, I have a lot of faith in the XCOM developers. Cool. So yeah, awesome, good. Now, near fourth and fifth would have to be Metroids, both of them.
Both. To be fair, they didn't show anything about Prime 4, though.
I know, but I like the fact that they're actually finally bringing it back for the first time in...
That logo's so good, it took your fourth or fifth place spot.
The potential of it. Sure. Does it? Because we haven't seen a Metroid Prime game since...
Trilogy.
Trilogy on the Wii, but we haven't seen a good one since GameCube.
Yeah, you're right.
I even liked a bunch of the stuff around 3, but 3 was a completely faulty game with everything from bad load times to...
shitty motion controls.
Actually, that was the least of its problems. The motion controls worked for it. But it was covered with all the shit of the actual game. I know, here's an idea. Let's give areas you really want to get through quick, but then have the door actually have a loading time because we can't load two areas at the same time. Two rooms the size of a small kitchen and you can't fucking load both. Good fucking job.
Speaking of loading, I need to load a fourth into my list, and that's Sonic Mania.
Fair enough.
So looking forward to Sonic Mania. Do you have a top three duds of the show?
All the zombie games. Okay. Number one.
Let's collectively count that as number one.
All the rah-rah military games.
Collectively number two. So 17 million way tie for second.
What gets number three? Any suggestions?
Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Capcom. Three.
Period.
Because look, I love the Capcom of yesterday. And by yesterday, I mean Super NES and back.
What about PlayStation and back?
Yeah, there were some good PlayStation games. Okay, PlayStation and back. Because, let's face it, Breath of Fire 3, Pocket Fighter, there were some good Capcom games in there. They hadn't become the Capcom of today. The Capcom of today rushes out poorly balanced and incomplete fighters that don't look that good and they don't give a flying fuck. So, yeah, fuck Street Fighter V. Fuck Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. I'm kind of interested in Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball FighterZ.
FighterZ.
Okay, so my top three duds of the show. Number one is a tie between Days Gone and every other zombie game. With Days Gone being the slightly stronger member there because fuck that turd.
Oh, I is there a Detroit in the future here?
No.
Ooh.
Believe it or not, here's the thing. I thought about what you said about Detroit Become Human, and as much as I don't want to play that game, and as much as I think is that David Cage is a creepy, creepy white guy with no business talking about game design, that game at least looks like it has some level of ambition and a purpose and is trying. What doesn't was Super Mario Odyssey.
Okay, I should have expected that.
That's my number two dud. And number three, even though I still want to play it, and from what I've seen of the demo Capcom released yesterday, and what I've actually felt gotten getting my hands on it actually seems like it'll play well. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was a bit of a dud just because it looks like it needs so much polish. And look, sometimes a shitty-looking fighter comes out and it plays well, King of Fighters. But that's not what I was expecting from Marvel, especially not in the wake of... When Guilty Gear Xrd released, every single fighting game developer that actually has money, Capcom, SNK, should have looked at their development teams and gone, why can't our games look like this? And they haven't. Even Injustice, I think, should look more like Guilty Gear Xrd than like the very... admittedly nice looking, but plasticky kind of game that it looks like. It's still pretty. It's not ugly. And it plays well.
But what about that spaghetti that Ryu has on his head?
Look, I'm not saying fuck Street Fighter V because there's thought behind its battle system, and I like any game's attempts to ease the execution barrier. Where Street Fighter V fails is that it fails at kind of being interesting. Like, a lot of people will argue that because it has lax execution, the game is very solved and there's not much window for expression and creativity. That's a fair comment, except that it's not coming from lack of execution, because Serlin's Fantasy Strike Fighter, supremely simple left-right three-button game, has amazing depth thus far, even still being pre-alpha, and has extremely lax execution. So it's a matter of just Street Fighter V being a little more routine and a little less creative, this is why even though Street Fighter IV sucks, there are a lot of people who want it back. It sucks, though. Fuck that game. I'll take Street Fighter V any day of the fucking week. But I'd rather have a better Street Fighter game, really. And not Ultra Street Fighter II. They had HD Remix, a solid basis for good balancing of Street Fighter II. Completely scrapped it because they're forgetting that game exists. And then they throw Evil Ryu and Violent Ken in, who are not balanced at all and possibly even more broken than Akuma in that game, who was until now the most broken character in a fighting game. So yeah, those are my duds of the show. Any more E3 talk we want to go through? There is one more thing I have to say about E3, but I'll let you throw out your final thoughts.
Well, ultimately, E3, while we may consider it a disappointment for how things went, it really is just it's grown with the times. People don't want people on stage yapping it up. They just want to see the games. And really, Sony did exactly what people want. They showed games. It may not be the games that we wanted. And even Microsoft with its 42 games. Like, they had a few more people on stage. Absolutely. They had a little bit more human interaction. But they've all learned, show us the games.
I'd argue Bethesda took that lesson best. And again, I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, but Bethesda didn't even have a person on stage.
I know. They had a fun gimmick. They had a fun framework for presenting their stuff.
Yeah, they did. Honorable mention for failures.
Yeah, go ahead.
Creators Club from Bethesda. Depending on how they roll this out or try and roll it out, they've tried paid mods before. They've done multiple updates since Bethesda's show saying that this isn't for paid mods, even though you have to pay for it, but it's going to work from partners that adds content into the games. Well, I'm sorry. A person creating an enemy and putting it into the game, that's not worth $5.
Mm-hmm.
There are mods that change the entire game that I would throw $5 after no problem. And Bethesda's guarantee that if this is a mod that you bought through their Creators Club, it will always be compatible. I'm saying bullshit. Mainly because Bethesda can't make their own fucking vanilla game work right. Let alone trying to get other people's shit to work in there as well.
Dave, where do you get off shitting on a company as great as Bethesda?
How are you still breathing? Like, look, Bethesda's a good publisher.
Agreed.
I like the ideas that go into Bethesda's first party games. The framework is there. The framework is great. It's a great launch pad for modders to fix all their shit and make an actual good game. But fuck! I shouldn't have to expect day one for modders to fix your shit. And they're proud of this! They outright said this year that, yeah, we know we don't make games with a lot of polish. No shit! No fucking shit! Since Fallout fucking 3 / whatever the last Skyrim game was for that, we've known, I mean...
We consider ourselves the IKEA of video games.
Pretty much!
Man, those Swedes know how to give you almost everything you need.
Pretty much. They give you the fucking frame, and what you do with it from there? I mean...
They give you most of the frame.
Yes. I mean, okay, I'm going to shit on Bethesda here a little bit, because this has just been stewing this entire E3.
Good. Get angry.
So, not Skyrim, but the Elder Scrolls game before that.
Morrowind?
No, the one after Morrowind. There's the in-between one.
Oblivion?
Oblivion. Thank you. Oblivion?
Horse armor?
Well, I'm not even going to get to
that. That's Oblivion.
That's horse armor was Oblivion, but I'm not even going there. That was scummy, but... Oblivion existed at a time that modders didn't jump right in and fix things. And there wasn't... The internet hadn't reached the point of making the modders guilds that are around Bethesda games these days. And they made that game so poorly that there were certain set ways to make your character. You could make yourself however you want it, but did you want the first enemy past the door to kick your ass? Well, you better build it our fucking way. They learned from that in Skyrim, but I mean, my experience with Oblivion.
They didn't learn from that in Daggerfall, but whatever.
Daggerfall was a long time ago.
Yeah, and when they were making Morrowind, they should have realized that. You shouldn't have to roll a high elf or whichever race was immune to poison and then take a critical weakness to poison so you get extra stats to put everywhere else to have a chance in this shitty classic game that I still like better than modern Elder Scrolls games.
You know something? Fair enough. But, I mean, my experience, I loved Oblivion for about 35, 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, I made the mistake of going around this giant lake and finding all the caves and ruins. And I was having just a ball playing my character, building how I wanted, everything else, and I put stuff into acrobatics so I could dodge things great. And I'm like, you know something? There's a storyline to this game. Let's do this shit. And so I took 20 steps past the lake, ran to the first actual storyline enemy, which was a sylph, a butterfly-style character. Dead. Fucking dead. And that was when I learned I built my character wrong, and I couldn't do anything about it.
I remember...
And quit.
I remember about 2 hours into Fallout 3. That's when I realized I hated Bethesda.
Why?
And I'm like, why can't this be Fallout 2 again?
A lot of us were saying that, granted. What was your hatred for 3?
I was falling asleep playing it.
Ah.
I was repeatedly reloading to get a guy to come with me and be my ally, even though my charisma wasn't very high. Especially, yeah, charisma is a stat. And I was like, wow, this is a very polished turd. wow, this is lifeless. Are all of this company's games like this? Then I remember Daggerfall, and I'm like, yeah, they are.
You know one of the first mods that most of us pick up? After, other than in infinite inventory space.
The one that turns all the dragons into Macho Man Randy Savage?
That was a cool one, yes.
It does, yeah, first mod.
No, one of the first things a lot of us pick up are Green Wasteland. Because there's nothing worse than a Fallout game to have the opposite of what would happen in reality and just Wasteland. there should be, and this is something that players have tried to tell Bethesda for years, in the advent of a nuclear holocaust, like is the Fallout story, after 100 years, there would be greenery as fuck.
Okay, wait a minute, though. I can't believe I'm about to do this again, but I have to defend Bethesda a little bit here. Who cares what would happen? It's a fake-ass game world. The aesthetic is wasteland. That's like Movie Bob complaining that there's too much gray in Gears of War. That's the part of the theme of the game. It's drab because it's depressing.
Agreed. No, honestly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be an asshole.
Well, but no. I understand the whole aesthetic, you know, they're going for what they're going for, but they've also had areas that were green and showing life again. And those were some of the best parts of the game. And they keep on fast forwarding further and further into the future, and nothing changes.
Yeah, I know. It's a little silly.
I mean, when I got Green Wasteland, the mod for Fallout 4, my enjoyment of the game instantly picked up because, okay, I get it. Your aesthetic is drab, everything's bad, nothing seems to be recovering, etc. But it also means if there's no greenery, if there's only dead trees around, you can see enemies for miles. My game got instantly harder and more fun the moment enemies could hide behind bushes.
See, there's a gameplay concern there, too. I understand that. No, fair enough.
It's just, maybe people don't want everything drab anymore.
Okay, then that's a valid complaint. I complain about Superman, like Man of Steel and Batman v Superman doing this shit all the time.
And one of the big things from Fallout 3, and now I'll talk their storyline, because I could back this shit up. The biggest decision you made at the end of the storyline of Fallout 3 was bringing back non-irradiated clean water to the wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would happen with clean water if the irradiated stuff killed all the plants? You'd have motherfucking greenery!
Yeah.
You fucking... Oh, and this is even ignoring the fact that we know that radiation and plants fucking dig that shit. Look at fucking Chernobyl. Chernobyl is our greatest fucking resource for what would happen to the world after a nuclear holocaust. Guess what? Earth don't need us.
Oh no, Earth will get along just fine without humanity.
Siberian wolves are thriving around Chernobyl.
All this talk about open world games reminded me there were two things shown at the Nintendo presentation that are probably of interest to you. Info on the two DLC packs for Breath of the Wild.
First one I don't care about. Second one they haven't given me enough details to care.
Okay, then you know about it.
I do. The problem is like they're doing the second one as being a storyline thing, but I think they're doing the whole prequel thing.
Sure.
And here's the thing. We don't want a prequel to what we got in Breath of the Wild. We want, you know, 5 years later, the kingdom recovering and something happening.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I got some final thoughts about E3. Last year after E3, I said I didn't want to do this shit anymore. Covering E3, that is. This year, I don't know what changed my mind before E3. There's something... I got a vibe that this was going to be a surprising E3. It was. It was surprising how disappointing it was. Unless we are doing this for a living next year, unless we found so much success or windfalls of personal wealth that this has become our full-time job, and thus covering something like E3 is... We'll pay our bills, perhaps even in person at E3. I really don't want to do this covering of E3 again. And the main reason is because of this. Look at this summary podcast we're doing for E3 and how many thoughts we've put out about the whole show. I mean, there's something to say for giving those shows time to gel a little bit in our minds before really judging them. The other thing, too, we did a lot of live tweeting this year, and I got to tell you, even I was getting a little sick of my own negativity. And, yeah, from the Orbis Aetherum Twitter, because I have another Twitter, smart people know where it is. That, like, my other Twitter is where I'm negative, and Orbis Aetherum is where I'm kind of more positive, right? And even then, I was looking at my Sony tweets, and even though the Sony conference was really disappointing, the fact is I was getting a little annoyed at myself reading what I tweeted. Even during the show, I was like, wow, this is making me feel like a huge cynic. And yeah, I know we got a few faves here and there and even a couple followers out of it, but from a purely business standpoint, it's kind of not good for business to be this negative. If we are doing this for a living next year, there's much more value in, say, doing a live stream of us watching the show and talking over it, probably with others. But ultimately, yeah, this was just kind of us really shitting on E3. And when I look within, when I look at myself, I can kind of like, you know, I'm very picky for games. There's not a lot of modern games I like. There aren't even a lot of classic games I like. I like very particular games. I'm a very picky gamer. But shitting on everything I don't like, probably not great for myself or for others. So if we're not doing this for a living next year and it's just still just a hobby, I'm just like, you go ahead and you do your live tweeting if you want to do it, but I'm really just going to stick with a preview and then a summary, honestly. Because E3 has just been a disappointment too many years in a row, I think.
Yeah, see what next year brings.
Oh, yeah, we'll play it by ear. It's entirely possible our situation changes in ways I can't even expect, right? Yeah, any more thoughts?
Nope.
We are Two Fat Guys Talk. We are a podcast. We also do another show, Carlos Nave Anime Review, the best anime review and reaction show on the internet. You can find either of those on our website, which you can get to by one of two URLs. Or both, if you like, just not at the same time. TwoFatGuysTalk.com or AnimeRave.xyz. Farewell, folks, and until next time, be true to you.
Tune in next time.
Bye.